The Keys to Life podcast begin with the idea that women need access to sound wisdom, biblical truth, and practical keys to be empowered in their daily life. This is an offspring of Life Builder Seminars. The Keys to Life podcast is designed to help you transform your life by hearing and knowing the truth so you can walk in greater freedom than you ever thought possible. Life Builder Seminars was started by Dr. Kathy Guerrero nearly 25 years ago with a passion for creating a safe place for women to be equipped and empowered for life. As a counselor, pastor, business owner, and grandmother, Dr. Kathy's passion is to build and empower women. We are so excited you are here and can't wait to see what God has in store for you.
Hello, listeners. We're so happy to be back with you again. This is Dr. Kathy Guerrero, and we are here with Keys for Life. I know it's been a minute since we've been on. You know, life just kind of happened, but God is good, so here we are. So I'm so excited today because we're going to really be able to hear some truths that is going to really, if I might say, stiffen your spine. Give you some courage, give you some understanding. And I know that as we share from our hearts, you're going to be able to reach out and take a hold of some of those keys and put them into action. Now, remember, we always say for Life Builders, keys aren't any good unless you use them. So we're going to give you some keys today that will open up doors that were previously closed in the past, give you access to them, and then some of those keys that you're going to receive are going to close doors that have possibly been open in the past so that you won't have access to those things that are unprofitable. But you're going to close it, so then it will be sealed shut as you take that key and utilize it in faith to close that door. So, saying all that to say, we have such a fun and really, really impacting guest today. Her name is Erica Perez, but I'm going to let Maribel Soto introduce her. So today, actually, Maribel's going to be doing most of the podcast interview, but I'm going to be here today. Can't get rid of me that fast. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm just going to turn it over to Maribel Soto. And y'all know who Maribel is. You've heard her on the PAC podcast before. So Maribel, why don't you say hello and I'll just take it and give it to you from here.
Hi, everyone. I hope everybody is staying dry. I mean, these last couple of days, rain has just been pouring down here in California. And I don't know if you know the Californians, we don't know how to handle that.
Sprinkles we call pouring down rain, but yeah. We did have pouring rain.
Yes, so it's been pretty incredible. I know we need the rain, but golly. And I was thinking about that. I just pray it's prophetic insight for this coming season, that yes. It's His blessings that are going to be coming in like a flood. Mm-hmm. And I'm declaring that awesome. Over everyone.
Yes, ma'am.
So my guest is Erica Perez. She is one of my amazing friends. She has amazing taste. And just a little bit about Erica. She's been married for how many years with Ryan?
A little over 18 years.
18 years to her amazing husband, Ryan Perez. I'm sure he's going to love me saying that.
Yeah. Yes, he is.
So they live in here in beautiful Orange County with their two cute little pups, Reagan and Palin. They're adorable. And in addition to, you know, being here in Orange County, she's an accountant.
Oh.
By day. And she's traveled all around the world as a missionary, spreading the gospel for Jesus. And she's one of the most generous people that I've ever met.
Aww.
She really is. She blesses me all the time, not just with her friendship, but just amazing.
That's sweet. That's nice.
And when I think about her, I envision a woman with great faith. And faith is like the muscle. The more you use it, the stronger it is, and it becomes and it develops with use. And I feel like you've strengthened my faith.
Oh, wow.
With our friendship.
Oh, thank you. That's so sweet.
So, tell us a little bit about yourself. I know I introduced you, but tell us a little bit more.
Well, I think you've said a lot here with my family, my little family. I have been married to Ryan for maybe 18 and a half years. And it's been very fun. He makes me laugh. He makes me laugh. And I just enjoy being with him. He's one of the most amazing man I know, and he makes me laugh every day. I'm just so happy that we're together, we're married, and it's been fun, and it's just really exciting. I'm really excited to be with him.
I love it. I love it. So we want to start off talking about faith. I know that you've been through a lot. Your journey has been one of victory. And I wanted to ask you, can you tell me a little bit about finding yourself seeking God? What was that like when that started?
So I've been a Christian for a long time. And at a very young age, I came to know God. I had this hunger to know Him and to not only know Him, but I always heard about the Holy Spirit, and I was just kind of like hungry at a really young age, wanting to know who God was. And so I remember getting saved at 12 years old. I remember it all. I remember being baptized in the Holy Spirit as a teenager. So that started my faith, and I'm just was very hungry for the things of God. And as time, I got plugged into a really good church that preached, that taught the uncompromising word. And was just amazing, all the church that I went to. So it all started when I was very, very young, like a preteen. And I just started my walk with the Lord at a very, like I said before, a very young age. And I wanted to make a difference in the world, even at a young age. And as I grew older into a young adult and into adulthood, I wanted an impact. I just wanted to have an impact on people. And I knew that God wanted me to go to other countries at a very young age. And I just prayed and prayed and just thanked God that someday I would be able to go to other countries and do missionary work. And the time came when I was able to do that. I have been to several different countries, a couple of different continents, and I just wanted to bring Jesus to a dying world. I wanted to, there's a statement that's a missionary said that it goes like something like this, plunging hell to populate heaven. And I've always had that in my spirit, and I've always wanted to do something great. Just something great for God, and I needed to build my faith because I wanted to go to different countries, and so one of the countries I went to was Guatemala, and there were situations that were happening in Guatemala, and I was on a missionary trip, and that was one of the hardest trips I have ever gone on, and some things happened there. There was a hurricane. There was a hurricane, and we were in the jungle. There is a jungle in Guatemala. So there was a jungle. The situation or the living conditions were, you had to be like a hardcore Christian and not be moved by your surroundings, not be moved by what was going on. And so when I went, at the time I was married, when we went, there was a hurricane. We knew it was going towards Nicaragua, but we felt that we were okay. We were safe. And so when we got there, we saw a lot of chaos. We saw a lot of death because a hurricane, it changed. It went from Nicaragua, and it shifted over to Guatemala and the jungles. And in the jungle, you don't have buildings, or you don't have, you're in a jungle, so you don't have the protection that you would have if you were living in a city. So during that time, we knew that something was happening because I could sense like something's not right here. Mm-hmm. And I could sense that things were shifting and mm-hmm. Things were shifting. And so before I went to Guatemala, I recall getting ready to go on the trip. And I recall so well, I heard this scripture just drop in my spirit, and it's Psalms 118:17. And it says, I will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And I was like kind of stunned, like, what is that for? I will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. Because being a Christian, God is good to us. Mm-hmm. God is our life. God is our, you know, through Jesus, we have our Savior, we have our healer, prosperity. So I'm like, what is that all about? And I just pondered it. I kept it in my heart. And so not knowing that I would need it within a week. So mm-hmm. as time went on, we were trying to get back to the United States because a hurricane shifted. And during that time, several of us, there were three airplanes that were coming to try to pick us up in Guatemala, in the jungles. They didn't have a landing strip. It was like you would get an airplane in there. You're like on a tropical greenery. It's like there wasn't even an airplane strip. So they were trying to get people out because the hurricane shifted. And our whole main reason there was to get people to come to Jesus. And we did do that. We did that for a couple of days, but it was time to go because of the situation with the hurricane. I recall getting on the airplane, and I remember that scripture. It just took me back. I will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. So I remember getting on the airplane, and at the time, my Kevin, I was married to, they had him go up in the front, and they had me go in back of the airplane because he was heavier. And back then I was small, so they put the smaller people in the back. So I remember getting on the airplane, and I just thought, wow, this is kind of, this is different. This shouldn't be happening. And then I remember buckling my seatbelt very tight. So as the airplane took off, there were us in the back, and there were people up in the front. So the airplane was not going straight. It was going up. Hmm. So we were going up, and I knew something was happening because I thought, are they trying to miss something? Hmm. Because suddenly the airplane is going straight up, and I'm looking up now. Hmm. And at that time, I realized, no. According to Psalms 118:27, I will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. Mm-hmm. I will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. And I heard a lot. It was horrific just inside the turbulence. I couldn't even, it was so shaky, the airplane. It was not normal. And so I recall saying, I will live. I was yelling it. I didn't care. Who cared? I didn't care. I will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. And then I remember hearing some loud booms, some loud noises. And I could look out the window, and I remember we hit something. Mm. And I could feel, and I could see, looking out, the airplane just coming across. The wings were coming apart. I recall hearing people screaming that because there were, you know, other people in the airplane. And I was shouting, I will live and not die, and I will declare the works of the Lord. I am not moved by what I see because I live by faith. The righteousness live by faith. The just live by faith. I will not die. I didn't come over here to die. I didn't come over here. I came over here to help people. I came over here, and all this stuff was going through my mind. And I was shouting it out loud, like, I will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. I don't care if there's airplane falls apart. I will live. I will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. So this scripture from a week before, here I am just shouting it out in the airplane. I will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. And I recall the airplane just, I tapped into this, I want to say it was a different realm of slow motion. Hmm. Like I got out of the realm of the natural realm of a human the human realm. And I remember tapping into slow motion and just seeing people, the different people, what they were, what was going on with the different people, the people in the airplane. And I recall seeing people screaming and crying and wailing, and I'm not screaming, but I'm shouting, no, I will live and not die, because I didn't come all the way here for me to die in this country. There's no way. And I'm like, God, I just thank you that I live and not die. I keep repeating that scripture, but the word was in my mouth, and it started. The word of God, or the scriptures that were in me, it started way before the airplane crash. It started the worship, the Jesus, you're my Lord, you're my Savior. That started years back. So it's not like I was just saying these words that meant nothing. The word, the scriptures, they meant something to me. They were embedded in me, because that's what was coming out. We're saved when we confess Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We confess it with our mouth. We believe it, and it comes out of our mouth. That's the same thing that was going on with the airplane. So the airplane stopped. By the time it stopped, the front of the airplane was gone. The back of the airplane was gone. I was upside down, dangling from the airplane. So I was no longer sitting. I was upside down, dangling, because I had my seatbelt on. So I recall smelling fuel. And normally when an airplane hits the ground, it was a free fall. What happened, we ended up hitting the side of a mountain, because we were going up so high trying to get over a mountain. We ended up hitting the mountain, and we did a free fall. And what happened was, I found out later that the airplane was turning, and going down. So by the time the airplane stopped, there was just the middle part of the airplane. And I recall being just entangled in all this metal, this wreckage. And I remember the sound of an airplane falling apart, coming apart. I remember that sound. But then I also remembered smelling fuel, and I'm like, oh, no. I'm like, no, there's no way. So I remember the fuel was so strong, it was like I was getting ready to pass out because of the fuel. If you smell enough gasoline, you'll pass out. So I remember getting my body, or unbuckling the seatbelt. And when I unbuckled the seatbelt, I was still dangling, because my body, from my hips down, the bottom of my body was dangling from, it was the wreckage that was that was wrapped around the lower part of my body. But I was upside down. So I remember yelling out to one of the girls that I had met on the missions trip. I had asked her to keep me awake, because I didn't want to go fall under unconsciousness with the fuel. So she's like, I'll try. Because everyone was stuck in the airplane. All of our bodies were wrapped around some kind of wreckage. And out of everyone that was on the airplane, six of us lived, and everyone else died. That was including Kevin. Kevin was gone. But at that time, I didn't know that.
Kevin, your husband, right?
Yes, my first husband, yeah. Mm-hmm. So Kevin, back to the trying to get out. So I got out, and I didn't get out. I was in case. So we were in a third world country, and it's not like here, you call the fire department or an ambulance. They're in here within, 3 to 5 minutes? So we're up in a mountain in the wreckage, and it took them about 3 hours to get to us.
Wow.
3 hours. So I finally got out. I was pulling off the wreckage from my body, the metal, and I was trying to get out, and I did fall unconsciousness for a little bit. I don't know how long, but I do know that we were on the mountain for 3 hours. And I remember falling after that. Oh no, actually I remember having this dream. maybe it wasn't a dream, but I remember being unconscious, and I remember hearing, what you sow in life, you will reap. That's what I kept hearing. What you sow in life, you will reap. And so I recall going underneath the fuel. Actually, it was going under, the fuel was making me go unconscious. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then after being out for a while, I recall this breath just breathed into me, and I woke up. I just remember and I woke up, and I realized that I'm still in this airplane crash, and that back, like, that was such a long time ago, but I remember so well where I had this fight even more. I think I'm already feisty, but I had this
she is fight.
I had this fight, like, I gotta get out of here. I just gotta get out of here. I gotta get out of here. I gotta go see if anyone else is okay. Where's everybody at? And I remember, I don't know what happened, but it was so dark. It was just really dark, and I was still, when I fell from the top of the airplane down, I remember just everything being so dark, and I saw, now remember, we're all still encased in this wreckage, mm-hmm. you know, in the metal, and I remember seeing a hole in the metal, and I put my hand out because I heard some Guatemalan people, and I remember putting my hand out in this hole in the airplane, and someone grabbed me. My hand. Someone just grabbed my hand, and I went like, I remember, and someone grabbed me, and I, because of the language barrier, I know that these people were, I'm so thankful for Guatemalans. I'm just so thankful that they found me, and mm-hmm. then they started with their machetes, this must have been pretty sharp.
Crying you out.
Yep. Get me out. And by then, they wanted to yank me out, and mm-hmm. I'm like, no. I said, I'm going to walk out of this airplane. I'm going to walk out. And so they literally were chopping away at the airplane, made a hole, pushed it out, and I walked out. And so I remember them trying to help me to get to a safe area. And looking over, when I sat down, I looked over and I could see where the airplane started down mm-hmm. the mountain because of the trees. And remember, you're kind of still like in a jungly area. I could see where the airplane was, touched those trees, and there was a trail because there were people, body parts, there were luggage, baggage, because a lot of us had our stuff. You know, we took a lot of our stuff there, and so they put it back in the airplane so we could, you know, go back to the compound. And right there, because we're not built to see stuff like this, mm-hmm. I kind of like went into shock, and I remember just looking at stuff that we're not supposed to be looking, like I said, we're not built to look at the horrific things that,
absolutely,
you know, just the horrific things. And so
at this point, did you know where your first husband was, or mm-mm. did that come at to mind?
So they never told me. Mm-hmm. They never told me. He never came. He never came back. He never came into the hospital. They eventually took us to the hospital, and some of us went to one hospital, another one went to another hospital, and I was told that he was at the other hospital, but he wasn't. Mm-hmm. He wasn't. And so I got to the hospital, and they started just putting all this stuff on me, and they ended up putting a cast from my ankle to my thigh that I didn't even need. And they said that I would have to stay there, most likely I wouldn't go home. And I'm like, no, I didn't come here to stay in Guatemala. That's not the plan. Mm-hmm. And I ended up trying to leave. And then I realized, who's going to come get me? I was running out of the hospital. Like, I don't want to be here. Mm-hmm. I don't, I don't, I don't belong here. So they didn't find anything wrong with my body other than maybe my knee. I hurt my knee, but even then, that's why they put a cast on my knee, but it wasn't broken. Nothing was wrong. I didn't walk, you know, I was totally fine leaving. But I did end up getting that cast, and then when I got here, I had them take it off. But with Kevin, I remember asking, where is Kevin? Where is Kevin? And on the missions trip, there were other people from my church, because it was a trip that everybody from all over the United States, they met in Texas. And then in Texas, everyone that went, we flew into Guatemala. So my church that I was going to, there were, I believe, five of us that went. And we had a doctor that was on the trip. So he was from Guatemala. So while we were in the jungle, he left before us, and he went to family home. And so we ended up, he ended up going to the hospital and seeing me, and I'm like, Dr. Kinnett, you know, I gotta go. I gotta leave. I don't want to be here. And he's like, let them mount it to you. Let you know. And then he's the one that told me. He said, I had to identify Kevin's body. He was in the morgue. So the ministry that we went with, they never said anything to me. It was Dr. Kinnett, who is now pastor out in Carson. He later, wow, him and his wife are pastoring out in Carson. But so by then I knew I was in the hospital for a couple days. I didn't sleep for probably 36 hours, because I thought if I slept, I was like having a nightmare or something, and I would wake up thinking it was a nightmare, but really it was reality that I'm coming home alone, and Kevin is underneath an airplane, and I'm not, you know, I'm, and I knew I had to get back on an airplane. I knew that I had to come home. So for a couple of days, I had people praying for me, my pastors, amazing. They tried to come out, and my pastor back then was pastors Art and Joan Aragon. He was trying to get to Guatemala, but he couldn't get into Guatemala and reach us because of the hurricane that was happening, right, and the damage that was happening. So I knew that there were things that I was going to have to face when I got home, and that's where I'm on an airplane saying, yeah, I'm going to live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. But I had to live this out in my Christian walk when I got home. You know, yeah, Guatemala, I was there for a week. But this was my life now. That when I came home to an empty house, you know, nobody's there. It's just me. This, you know, that's where my faith, was living this out, living out this journey, was when I got home. And that was the toughest. That was tougher than being in an airplane crash. Because I'm so thankful that God is faithful. And even though going through the airplane crash, God was still with me. The Holy Spirit was still with me. And I had to live that out when I got home.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about how you were able to have those around you in community that could help you to process some of those things? Was there others that you could be open and transparent with? Or did you feel that you just had to keep this between you and God?
I had my, I call her my pastor, even though she doesn't call herself a pastor. Joanne Aragon, she was so just influential, just so her strength I could feel. And she's a woman, a fearless woman, because when I came back, she and Pastor Art, they met me at, I just wanted my family at the airport when I came back. she looked at me and like right away, like she doesn't mess. She has no, like fear does not touch her because she'll just, no way, fear, you go in Jesus' name. And I got that from her. And so she told me that, because like I said, I had to come back and get on an airplane. She told me that when I came back, she said, you're going to get back on an airplane because you're supposed to do that. You're supposed to go on many more mission trips, and this is not going to stop you. I'm speaking. I have a speaking engagement in San Jose, and you're going with me. You're going to get on that airplane, and you're going to conquer the fear of flying.
So good.
And I'm like, yeah. I'm like, yeah. So that her words and God just gave me the strength to like, yeah, I am going to live out my calling that God put on my life.
So good. So good. So why don't you encourage our audience as they're listening? Because, you know, this is such a traumatic thing for any human being to go through. And yet, God was still there. How can you encourage our audience to know that no matter what they're going through, God is not going to desert you? And you can make a choice to follow Him and still fulfill what He's called you to do no matter what. Can you encourage them just a little bit in that area?
Yeah. I would say the number one thing to have the relationship with God is worship. Because what happens in worship, you open yourself, you're opening yourself, you're worshiping a God you've never seen. And that's where faith kicks in. That's an act of faith, because you're loving on somebody and you're worshiping the Supreme, the God, the Almighty God. And that worship creates an atmosphere of faith and for Him to move in your life. And during that time when I got back, I just worshiped Him, and while I worshiped Him, I took the focus of what happened to me, and I put it on Him.
Good, so good.
See, and I put it on Him, and the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit. If you read in the Amplified version of John 14, I believe, the Holy Spirit, one of His attributes is the Comforter. And He was my comforter during this whole time when I started feeling like, oh, man. And, like, I never went through grief. I never went through, like, sorrow. Yeah, it affected me, but I knew I could feel the presence of God in wherever, like, in the bedroom, like, in my room when I was worshiping Him, taking the focus off of me and putting it on Him. And that's where I think, or I know, what kept me was worship, because I still worship God. I didn't understand a lot of things, and I didn't want to focus on that, but all I knew is that I worship God, thankful for Jesus, for my salvation, and that my life was not over, and I just knew that God was with me. It was so tangible at work. It was just amazing, because I had to go back to work. I had to do everything that I was doing before I went to Guatemala. Wow. Everything. But I knew the presence of God. I knew that worship was the key ingredient to keep your focus, keep your eyes on God, and nothing will try to creep into make you go back.
Good.
You know, it was worship. And I had to, like, pay the bills. I had to do all this stuff. Like, I remember calling. I'm going to go off a little bit. Calling, like, I had to call and, you know, certain companies, like, credit cards, and, like, look, you know, I'm going to need help. It was just one income. Just my income. I had two incomes. I had two cars. I had to get rid of all this stuff. But I'm like, God, You're with me, and You're going to help me. And I had so much favor. And no one can tell me that God is not real. You are too late. And I just want to encourage everyone there that, man, God is your source. He is the one that's going to help you, deliver you, help you with anxiety, help you with if you need any kind of healing in your body, like prosper you, like. He is the rewarder. The Bible talks about in Hebrews 12, Can I read that scripture really quick? Hebrews, 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. You have to believe that he is and there is no other God. And that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. What's a rewarder? A rewarder is the one that gives the blessing of salvation, the blessing of healing, the blessing of having peace, the blessing of not having any kind of anxiety or worry. Or, you know, Jesus came to not only die for us, but to give us the peace. Amen. So our whole life, like, God is the blessing. He's the reward that we diligently seek him, you know. Mm. So he was there. I mean, back then and still now, like I said before, if you say that there's no God, you're too late.
So one thing that I'm hearing you say, and I think it's so important that we really get a grip on this, is that you're talking about an intimate relationship, not just a religious encounter or training or just piling on memorization of scripture. But that you're talking about an intimate, personal relationship. And you get that through not only the word, but through worship. Mm-hmm. So I think that's so important that we really get a hold of that, because that's not emphasized very much in this community that we live in now. But can you imagine? I mean, I'm listening to this and it's like I'm watching an Indiana Jones movie, you know. These things really do happen.
Right.
And so I personally, this is Dr. Kathy speaking, I just personally want to encourage each and every one of you that's listening to examine your own heart and know, do I have an intimate relationship? Because we'll all face crises sometime in our life. God never orchestrates it, but he will certainly utilize that in our lives to grow and to develop. But our faith has to come out of intimacy, not out of memorization or practicing certain habits and that sort of thing. So, wow, I tell you, that's an incredible testimony.
Absolutely.
Incredible. And I am so thankful that God was with you in and through all of that and given you the ability to really walk forward. But in walking forward, your strength is strengthening so many others. Mm-hmm. So thank you so much for that. That's incredible.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I was crying over here, listeners, just so you know, just listening to her story and what she had to walk out. It's really inspiring to, I always say that some people in your life can be standard bearers, you know, for in your life. And you have strength in my spine because of your faith and your steadfastness in life. So thank you for sharing. And we are going to bring it to a close. And I feel we have to hear a little bit more. So we're going to have a part two, and thank you.
So we are so happy that you were with us again today. Don't forget that we'll be posting new podcasts the first and the third Wednesday of every month. So be sure and check in on a Wednesday to hear part two. Thank you again. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Thanks, Maribel.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for tuning in to the Keys to Life podcast. If this episode inspired you, we would love for you to subscribe to our podcast and leave us a review. We want to hear all about how God is speaking to you directly. Another way to show your support would be to screenshot, post, and tag us at Life Builder Seminars. Find us on Instagram and Facebook. We are so excited to continue this journey with you. Until next time, may these keys unlock your freedom and transformation.